Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're in part 92 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. I explain that every message by telling you how that God must enter into you, and Christ is God the Son, and He's always with the Father and the Spirit. The Lord God is a Spirit. We have some, incidentally, I got a hold of a Jack Chick tract today that says that the blood of Jesus was God's blood. Well, God doesn't have any blood because He's the Spirit. That's why He had to come to the world to become a real, genuine man, to have genuine human blood to shed. And if we got it into our heads that Jesus was not the Son of Man as well as the Son of God, well, then we would believe that, of course, He had an advantage over us. He has an advantage over, just as we do, over every unsaved person. But Jesus was saved from birth because He had the Spirit of God in Him on the conception, when He was conceived in His mother's womb. And Mary never gave birth to God. She gave birth to a man with genuine human blood in him. And the point that God was trying to make with everybody in the world was that Jesus had to be tempted just like all the rest of us, so that He could prove to us that if we have the Spirit of God in us, we will not sin either. We won't lie. We won't steal. We won't try to be cunning and crafty and all these different things. And we will not commit murder, steal, and we won't start wars, and we won't blow little children to bits like the administration is doing, innocent children. And when some of these Marines were just recently caught murdering civilians, little babies, having fun over there, what is the difference with what they did than what Adolf Clinton did over at Waco? Mr. Clinton, President Clinton, or ex-President Clinton, and what more did they do, these Marines over in Iran, than what Janet Reno, the lesbian appointee, or the lesbian attorney general that Mr. Clinton appointed, where they went to have a turkey shoot, to have some fun with Christians, to murder them, to watch them be trapped in there. And they started playing Nancy Sinatra's record, "These Boots Were Made for Walking." I know Nancy Sinatra pretty well. She posed for me in my Dallas commemorative catalog. I went over to one of her recording sessions, and she went outside and demonstrated one of the jackets that I had designed, and it's in my book. You can see it on my website, one of my websites, which is Tony Alamo Designs. She's in there, and you know, it's just, then we see this ex-president boasting, bragging how many, 50 countries that he had slaughtered people in. And, of course, he should have been brought to justice a long time, but, you know, the judgment bar of God, the great white throne, is waiting for him. And God is in no hurry, because He's got plenty of time. Clinton, Mr. Clinton, ex-President Clinton, will be standing before Him with the rest of the phonies in this world, and the rest of the murderers in this world, the rest of the liars in this world. All of them will be there. And that's why, while ex-President Clinton is still alive and Janet Reno is still alive, I'm trying to persuade them to confess their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and soul. so that all their former sins will be washed away in the blood of Jesus and drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness, so that God will not remember them anymore. But Jesus came into the world to show us that he was indeed a human. If he were spirit, well, then there's no way that they could have killed him. And there would be no way that they could kill him anyway, because he said he lays his life down. Jesus himself, who is God, stated that no one could kill him. All humanity couldn't do that, but he willingly laid his life down, and he says, "And I will raise it up myself." Now, only God can do something like this. There's a church out here in the Arkham, Texarkana area that says it's called the Fairland Church, and they argued with me tooth and nail that Jesus was not God. And I told them scriptures, but they won't receive it. And they also don't allow black people in their church. And they fight us tooth and nail because we do have a few black people in our church and some Hispanic people. But they feel we had people go to their church and they said, "Now, blackbirds go with blackbirds. And canary, little yellow canary birds go with yellow canary." In other words, Chinese go with Chinese. And brown people have their churches. But Jesus and white people have their churches. Of course, white people are not white. If they were, I mean, it scared me to death. We're not white. Jews are olive-colored skin. We're green, like money. And I guess maybe that's why people think we're rich, but, you know, we are rich in the Lord, but we need your finances. But anyway, this tract is preaching that kind of heresy, and I've heard Reverend Haggie say the same thing, that Jesus' blood was so divine, and then that would make us to believe that, well, of course, Jesus could go through all things and everything because he has a different kind of blood than us. And so there's no way that we can prevent ourselves from sinning because we just have human blood in us. But the scriptures tell us that God does not have blood. He's a spirit. And there isn't a spirit in the universe that has blood. God had to come to this world in a flesh, bone, and blood and sinew body with hair on it, on his head and beard, so that he could show us that the power of God living in him, if it were living in us, we also will do the same works that he did. And Jesus even said, "Even greater works will you do," because, of course, we're living in the last days and we're living in the most treacherous times of all. The Lord said that there would be no time like this ever on the face of this earth. It's wicked and exceedingly evil. And so we have human blood in us also, just like Jesus. He said he was just like that. He felt all the same problems that we did. He felt pain. It was agony when he went on the cross. And he shed, the Bible never says it was God's blood. God does not have blood. But a human body that has Christ living in it, like you must have yourself in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, has blood in it, just like real human blood like Jesus had. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the human with God in him, Jesus was fed with human blood while he was in Mary's womb, just like all the rest of us. The only difference is that the Father was not living in us, and the Father had not begotten us by the Spirit at that time. Later on in life, we were saved. We were brought to the Lord, and the Spirit of God, Christ, entered in us with the Father by the Spirit. But he was fed with human blood, and he had human, genuine human blood in him. Amen?
Amen.
And so Jack Chick is I don't believe he's filled with the baptism of the, he may be now, I don't know. But Jack, you are wrong. And I know Jack Chick. We've been out to dinner on several occasions. And Alberto Rivera and myself, he's been actually lived at my house for different houses that I've had. And I've visited at his home, Alberto. That's why the Lord is able to call us brethren. Amen? It's because we were brothers, humans, with God living in us. Okay? Mm-hmm. And my mother gave birth to me, and I have God living in me, but not at birth, or I was not conceived by the Holy Spirit by any means. But Jesus was. But now I've been born again, and the Lord has conceived, has placed Jesus in me, the Spirit of God in me. But I still have human blood. And I also have the power, which the Bible says, when Jesus came into the world, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth, which means the power of God and truth. Now, also the false prophets will tell you that grace means undeserved favor. But that is not what it means. Grace, by the grace of God, I am more than a conqueror. That means by the power of God living in and through me, I am more than a conqueror. And so you must believe what the Word of God says rather than what these heretics say. And, you know, if Jack Chick calls me up and tells me, Tony, I'm taking that out of the track, I'm destroying that track, and I make a confession, I'll say it on the air. I'll say, Jack Chick called and realized that he probably listened to Reverend Hagee's message. And Reverend Hagee, you should confess that before the people. Otherwise, people are going to think you're a heretic. Because God is going to exalt me higher than you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not. And already, Jack, you told me that because of the fact that you were putting out anti-Catholic literature that was written by Alberto Rivera, that you are getting hate calls and hate mail from Catholics like crazy, and that when I put out the Pope's secrets, all that went off of you and it came upon me. And you told me how thankful you were that I put out the Pope's secrets because your wife was deathly ill. As a matter of fact, she did die. And you said it as she was always praying for my eyes, because she knew I was legally blind. And you told me also that how pleasant it was now that the office phones were not ringing, and she felt so much more at peace before her death. And I really praised and thanked the Lord for it. The Lord knew that I could take it. Susie was really upset at the things that people, phony people that moved into the church, were doing. They were here because of food and clothing and the nice lifestyle we have here, rather. Some of them. There are some in the church that there's always quite a few of them. I mean, I would say at least maybe 60% or 65% of the people in this church are of the Lord, but there's a bunch of them that are not of the Lord. And, of course, you know, the Lord makes a parable of that when he stated that when you go fishing for mankind, he said it's very similar as to when you're net fishing in the ocean for fish. He says you throw the net in there and you pick up some good fish, and some of them you're like abominations, that you separate them. You throw the bad ones back into the ocean like sharks. You're not supposed to eat sharks. And swordfish, they don't have scales and fins. And dolphins and things like that, you have to throw those back. Shrimp, crabs, clams, all these different things, because they're, in the eyes of the Lord, abominations. It says so in the Bible, and I believe the Bible, okay? And so there's people like that that you pick up off the street, and you take them to dentists and doctors and patch them up and everything, and also you preach the gospel to them, get them saved, and show them how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You feed and clothe them and house them and whatever, you know, and you counsel them. And then they ask for glasses, and you get them, and they want their teeth fixed, and some of them don't even have any teeth, and so you get dentures for them. It costs, you know, a lot of money. And then they say, can we have a ticket? We want to leave after they're all fixed up. The world never treated them, was extremely cruel to them. They were all really in bad shape. Some of them had hepatitis and all kinds of diseases. Some of them had cancer. We had a young man that was in this church, and he left for about 10, 15 years. I can't remember exactly. But he said, Tony called him and said, I've got cancer, can I come back? And I did that because he knows we were going to pay his bills. And, you know, we were hurting for finances, but we were supporting, giving him $10,000 a week to go to Houston, Texas, and we put he and his wife up. His wife is still in the church, but he died. And we took good care of him before he died. And we got him a nice hotel. On top of the $10,000 a week, we got him a nice hotel room and gave him money for food and everything in Houston at the cancer clinic over there. And, I mean, it just goes on and on, and that really discouraged Susie. And she just said, I can't do it any longer. I said, Lord, Susie, if we don't continue on, we can't be responsible for what these people do. Read the book of Ezekiel, honey, and you'll see that we get the same credit for those kind of people as we do for people that receive it. As a matter of fact, we get more because the Lord knows we hate those kind of phonies, because he told us to hate Satan and to love God. And so you know that we don't like them, but we still, but I said, Susie, we got to put up with that bunch of snails and sea serpents and wicked people. We have to do that or else you're going to die. She says, I can't help it, Tony. I just can't do it. I've had cancer now for 15 years, and she lived two more years after that. She died on April 8th, 82. And she said, I said, honey, you're going to die. I can't help it. I just can't. I really don't want to live anymore because I can't stand these wicked people like this. They're phonies, Tony, and I just can't stand them. They're using you. And they're using, you know, the Lord. I said, but Susie, we get a bigger reward by just taking it. And she says, I just can't do it. I said, well, let me continue distributing. And she says, no, because the flack is going to come here and the media is going to keep coming at us with their dirty, with their lies. And then you're going to, I said, I'll do the interview. She says, no, because you're too brutally honest. And you'll rake them through the coals and show them what they are and how evil they are. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? The Lord did that. She says, Tony, just if you're going to do that, do it after I die. So when she died, I immediately prayed to the Lord about receiving the gift to write. And he gave it to me. And now my literature is in all the universities, even Oxford, England, Yale, Harvard, and all the Christian universities that I know of in the world, and they are always reading my website. We always get most of, well, I do even see every kind of a university in the world on that website. So anyway, God, when he took on the appearance of a man in the flesh, and he had blood, normal human blood. But he had also that, now that we have the same thing, and that we still have the Spirit of God in us now that we became born-again Christians. When you surrender your entire life over to the Lord gives you the ability to keep all the commandments and also to suffer. You know you're around a bunch of phonies. You know you're around even a lot of devils. And you hear them talking bad about you and everything after you've paid for their children to be born, and paid for their cribs and their baby clothes, paid for their Panthers, paid for everything that they have. They came to this church with absolutely nothing. Even some of them didn't, a lot of them didn't have a shirt on their back. And now they're wearing Alamo, or the Alamo of Nashville clothing, which the movie stars were wearing and everything, and they got puffed up because we put up teeth in their head, and one of them even, some of them even had huge, their little children had a huge black mark on their face, and I sent it to cosmetic surgery and had that done and paid thousands of dollars for that, and took care of a bunch of people that I knew. As a matter of fact, she married, she left and married one of the backsliders. She backslid and married one of the backsliders and was out talking bad about me because I guess it shamed her because I took that, I asked her if she wanted her dad and mother and if they wanted that big black spot on her white face taken off, and they agreed to do it, but I guess somehow she felt embarrassed about staying here because everybody knew what the story was, and so she wanted to go out and just live her own kind of a life. People don't want to live a crucified life, and the Lord's, or a life of self-denial. But they're out there, and a lot of them don't have enough food to eat again, and they don't have the clothes that they took from us are all worn out now. And some of them don't have furniture in their house because they were deadbeats here, and they're not going to change. They're deadbeats out there. And then I hear some of them putting a gun to the head and committing suicide. And some of them just went on. They died. They got in caught cancer and all kinds of things. One of them that was testified falsely against me in court died of cancer, young man. He also stole a lot of money from the church. We don't have, some money comes in, but it goes out for the gospel field and for paying for all these people's bills and the lights and gas and utilities and the payments on properties and the vehicles and to put gas into the vehicles. Everybody's screaming about the gas prices today. Well, we have more people now than we ever had before, and we still have to put the gas in there, and if somebody's sick, or somebody needs teeth, we send them out there to the dentist and pay all this money for it. And they're still doing the same thing. But it doesn't bother me. I just feel sad, you know, that they fell away. And I feel sad that they're just so spiritually stupid or ignorant that they don't know, they have no idea, they can't picture themselves standing before the great white throne of God on Judgment Day. It just doesn't register in their minds because it seems as though the Lord has deprived them from wisdom. They never meant business when they came to the church. Some of them did, and then all of a sudden some real backslidden person in the church began talking to them and trying to talk them into leaving. We have people, I'm looking right into the face of one of a couple of them right in this room that tried to get people to leave the church and tried to bust it right down the middle. But, like the Lord says, I have to have patience until they finally, after being reproved, they just won't be able to take the reproof any longer. They won't follow instructions any longer. They won't receive the fact that I'm the authority over them, because the Bible says that it's not the secular government that has the authority in this world, but it is the Lord's ministers, the ones that minister the word of God, not the ones that are taking it out of school and out of the courthouses and everything. An amazing thing, we went into the Texarkana courthouse the other day, and we saw a Bible on a pedestal in there. And I thought, well, praise the Lord for the courthouse in Texarkana. Amen?
Amen.
We saw a Bible there. Can you believe that? Now, so Jack Chick and Reverend Haggy, you boys better, you know, get right with God, because you, all you're telling people is we're not perfect. And when we have the Spirit of God in us and we're walking in the Spirit, the Bible calls that perfection. God calls that perfection. But if you say that we're weak and that God was, that Jesus had the ability to have more power in him than we do, when he said plainly that we will do greater things than he did, well, then you're a liar because the word of God is the truth. Okay, so Mr. Hagee, you're a liar, and so are you, Jack Chick, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I thought I was buddies with you, Jack, but, you know, I don't want to even wish you Godspeed. And the Bible commands me not to wish you Godspeed. And I certainly don't tell Reverend Hagee Godspeed either. And I also detest when Mr. Bush, this late, or this Mr. Bush that we have now as our president, Mr. Bush, that you don't fight President Bush because he is the one that is standing up for us. I really don't care if you stand up for me. If you are bombing kids and innocent people, you're against God, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, being against me is a little thing. But when you're destroying men, women, and children, innocent men, women, and children, you're no friend of God, and you're no friend of mine. Are you a friend of mine? No, you're not. Because Mr. Clinton said, I know of other cults in Arkansas, and this maybe will teach you people to be not be a cult. Well, I want to tell you, Mr. Clinton, the cult you're in is the one that the Lord says is the Antichrist and the head of the one world government. And that's why you're able to ride high after lying like you did to the United States, to the people of this world, and after you bombed over 50 countries, not caring whether you were killing little children and their mothers and dads. And then you bragged the other day on the television saying that you're the chief of sinners, you're the number one sinner, and you laughed about it. Just like all the Catholics in the high echelon. As I said before, I'm not against Catholic, the Catholics' laity that are that love the Lord, but I am attempting to win you people that are not of the Lord. And it's not that I hate you, it's like I wouldn't, if I'm laying my life down, because I know you tried to get people to murder me, to assassinate me. And we have a government agent that Mr. Peeler, who was with the FBI and the BATF, stated clearly on one of my pieces of literature that the government, the FBI, wanted him and would pay him to assassinate me. And he said when he went over to our church, went over to our restaurant, he saw that the people in the church were very good, they were nice, they were polite, they were godly, and he refused to do it, so they took his son and put him in prison on false charges. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ taketh away the sins of the world. Said Mr. Clinton and Janet Reno, you know, even though you're a lesbian, the Lord can forgive you for that. If you say you were born that way, that's why you must be born again in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So make sure you, if you want to be saved and not suffer a horrible eternity, that means forever, you have to get saved. You must be born again. And if you want the power of God in you, right now you're totally without power. You have secular power, but that's nothing in comparison to the power of God. God is going to be destroying this world with plagues, and it's going to happen real soon. All right, Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for letting us know in your word. That's why there's so many people. Now you let me know that are not saved, and that the world is so wicked because people don't read the word of God. And that there's this huge campaign by the Antichrist cult in Rome, the Vatican, and the government and media that it controls, they're boycotting the Bible and killing people in China that read it the whole church is underground there, and they're doing the same thing in many other countries, the Muslim countries. And the Muslim religion was fostered by the Catholics, by Rome, because they wanted them as their hitmen to do things that the Vatican wants to do so that the Vatican won't get blamed for it. And so they recruited. They know what the Word of God says about the Arab, that he's a wild man, in other words, crazy. And so they know, the devil knows, that he can incite these crazy people very much to do their bidding. The Vatican knows that. Satan knows that. And that's what he's doing. He's preaching false things to them and using them to destroy the things on earth. And if the Lord didn't shorten the time, if you didn't shorten the time, Lord, there wouldn't be any flesh that would be able to stand what's coming. And Lord, immediately after the tribulations, you say the sign of the Son of Man, the Son of God, is going to be in the sky, the eastern sky, and you're going to come back to earth. And people will pray for the rocks and mountains to fall on. They'll try to hide themselves, but no one can hide from you, Father. No one can hide from you, Jesus. It says that you, Jesus, will be filled full of wrath. You are the Lamb of God that died for the sins of the world, and they'll be attempting to hide in the mountains and in the rocks, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. You, Jesus. And you're coming back to the earth with a shriek that's going to break people's eardrums. Praise the Lord. Lord, I know you're anointing this service, and I pray that there isn't anything, that everything that is said on this program will be from you, directly from the throne of God, into me and through my mouth, in Jesus' name, that the souls will be saved, and that the church will be edified and strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From York, Pennsylvania.
Okay, what do they have to say?
I really appreciate the ministry sending me your literature. Thank you for what you've sent me so far. Yes, I would love to have more Messiah books, but don't send it to me because of my stepfather. My stepdad persecutes anyone who is a true Christian. I live with my stepdad. He would certainly see the package if it was sent to me. I don't feel like dealing with him. So I would like the literature sent to my brother.
Yeah, see, it's like some people just can't take fighting Satan. And of course, I mean, we're not supposed to try to start a fight with the devil. What we're not supposed to do is attempt to save their souls. But if you're living in their home, it's very hard. It would make it extremely hard. And so people like yourself should come out of there and move in with us, because I can tell you're a real Christian. As long as you keep the rules over here, there's a place for you. As long as you want to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? Things continue.
My brother is a Christian, and then he gives his address in York, Pennsylvania. Can you send me 5 Messiah books and some more earthquake newsletters? Again, I really do appreciate the ministry doing this for me. I'll pray that I can hand them all out. I'll tell you what, that earthquake newsletter is a work of art. What a great piece of writing. Long before I knew Tony Lamo Christian Ministries existed, I would always resort to handing out literature to preach the gospel. I would always make my own pieces of writing for sinners in an effort to get them to repent. So I already support the idea of handing out literature to preach the gospel. If you give something to someone in writing, you won't have the problem of not preaching the full message. The only problem with handing out literature, though, is that most people really aren't going to read it. It makes me sad to think about how many people threw my repentance notes away or just didn't read them.
Yes, but a word of encouragement. If you read the book of Ezekiel, it shows you that if whenever you hand a piece of literature to them, you get the same credit as if you won their soul, because you're delivering God's message to them. And if they don't receive it, if they want to just ignore it or throw it on the ground, don't worry, you still are rewarded for that, just the same as if they repented. Okay, then what?
There's this one kid in particular that I've given a great amount of repentance notes to. I've given him many different repentance notes of my own, and I also gave him the audio version of Earthquake from Tony Alamo to him. But after all that preaching and persuasion, he tells me I'm not done sinning.
Okay, well, see, this is like, I reckon the Lord had me tell you these things at the beginning of this program, how Susie was discouraged with that. Now, there's a strong possibility that her soul never made it after all the good deeds that she did for the Lord, after all the souls she won, when she decided not to do it. But I believe that the Lord had mercy on her because of the true fact that she was sick unto death. She was so tired and weary that she could not put up with it. And, you know, you really have to be eaten up with cancer before you know what it feels like to be eaten up with cancer. Their nerves are shot, and they just are not able to cope with a bunch of obvious phonies, obvious filthy people that are sitting around listening to messages every day and are just thinking about themselves and what they're going to do once they get enough clothes and enough bling and enough of all the different things and getting good health from the different health foods that we buy people here and everything, that they are going to, they're wondering, maybe I'll get married to somebody out there in the entertainment industry, some devil-possessed person. And it's sad. And a lot of people just don't have the ability to cope with something like that. And that's why the Lord had me tell you these things, so that you wouldn't be discouraged. You have the scripture in Ezekiel. What chapter was that? 4, wasn't it?
3.
Chapter 3. And so read chapter 3 of Ezekiel, and it'll tell you that if you you better witness to people, you better testify to them, and not weary in well-doing, because the only those that continue to the end shall be saved. And, you know, even if they do you wrong, and I had a bunch of them from the church that were backsliders, and they were back on drugs and alcohol and living lives of sin, unbridled. They refused to continue denying themselves and taking up the cross and following the Lord. And they came against me and brought all sorts of false reports against me in the courtroom in Memphis. And they actually had me sent to prison for, I spent 4 years there and a half year in a halfway house on a false IRS charge. I was in prison for the gospel, just like many of the prophets and apostles, and including Jesus himself. So I belong to what you call a jailbird club, you know, of Christians, that we're a special society in the kingdom of God. Now, don't go trying to get yourself thrown in jail so that you can claim to be part. I didn't try to go to prison. As a matter of fact, I fought tooth and nail to not go to prison, but I went anyway. And I'm glad I did, because I won a lot of souls there, Muslims and all kinds of people. And they are still communicating with me from outside of prison. And those that don't, that's make a difference. I witnessed to hundreds and hundreds of people in several different prisons, because they transferred me from Memphis, and I really preached the gospel there. And I went to Florence, Colorado, and after that to Texarkana, Texas. In the meantime, I went for parole hearings in the near the Denver area and Fort Worth area. I stayed in those prisons and preached the gospel there. And so there's a lot of people that communicate to me from prison. And they know that I was a Christian all during the time that I was there. And that bores a lot of phonies. They just have a real boring look on their faces all the time. There's no zeal in them whatsoever, but I still am reaching out. We're going into Africa now, India. the Philippines. We're there already with our literature, and we have churches there, but we're sending missionaries there into China, and we're fixing to make print Bibles in those languages. We're already printing in African dialect and also in some Indian dialects. And also we're doing literature in, I forget, maybe possibly 30, 40, 50 different languages. All right, what's left here?
How can he ignore the fact that he will go to hell if he continues to sin?
These kind of people don't think of that. They don't. They believe that the Bible is a lie. What they're doing is calling God a liar. They think that they can just run on for a long time. And but there's a song that says, "Let me tell you, God Almighty's going to cut you down. He's going to cut you. Go for a long time, and you think that everything's fine and that you're going to live forever. But let me tell every one of you out there, in this room, in the churches that I pastor all over the world, and all you sinners out there, you're going to die. You're definitely going to die. And you may die in one of the tornadoes or hurricanes or the tsunamis or earthquakes. And they're going to happen, or one of the horrible diseases that the Lord is sending on earth. And if you read the Bible, you'll see that it's God sending these plagues on the earth. That isn't natural disasters. These are supernatural disasters. God hated the Catholic town of New Orleans. And that's obvious, okay? Those people were sitting on their housetops. Everything they had was ruined, and they were sitting on top of the housetops, and it was raining, pouring down rain, and muggy there like you can't believe. God didn't care 2 cents. And these people that are ecologists, God doesn't care if he smashes your town and strews the place with all kinds of debris. God doesn't care about the things that you people think about out there. He shows you that he doesn't give 2 cents about all the different things that you people think about out there. Okay, and then what else?
And it's not like he believes another, quote, religion, unquote. He knows the truth, exclamation point.
Yeah, well, these people in this church, and out in the world have received thousands of messages from me. They know the truth, and yet they still are planning to... they're just users. They're using the Lord and the people of the Lord in the church to live sumptuous lives here. And then when they think that they're well-equipped, they go. And then God starts stripping them down and takes their rotten, filthy lives and their... Before they go out, I pray that they'll repent. But when they've hardened their hearts so much, like Pharaoh, they will not be able to repent. And some of them have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They think that they can use God, just like this man here says, without any retribution. Okay, is that it on that letter?
Yes.
Okay, now the next letter.
The next letter is from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I am very happy to write you this, my humble letter. The reason why I am writing you this letter is that I was a bad boy in Ghana for some time. My mother sent me to bad children's school, but it was the use of your literature that my friend called Isaac gave to me that I am now saved. Please, I want to thank you very much, and I want you to thank Isaac for me when you are writing to him, because I can't see him for some time now. But he and I attended the same school. Because of problems he is facing in the school, he cannot come to school for some weeks now. I want you to send me some more literature to pass to my past colleagues who are bad boys so that they also can change. Thank you. Signed, Dominic from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Well, Dominic, you're a real good brother, that's for sure. We'll send that to you. Because, you know, a true Christian, the minute they get saved, they want to get the gospel to people. And they're not users. They want to let the Lord use them. Some people like to use the Lord. Those are the ones that are going to hell in the lake of fire. But there are some people that want the Lord to use them. And I just thank and praise the Lord for everyone like that. Okay, what's next?
The next letter is from the UK, United Kingdom. The newsletters are all gone. There were many interested. Wonderful. There were so many exploring and finding Jesus. So many are asking for more. It's so exciting.
I'm so glad that I'm going to go to the Lord with souls, like multitudes of souls going with me, that I won to the Lord. And the Lord says that a person that rescues a soul from hell covers a multitude of sins. Not that we're sinning, but, you know, if we did something ignorantly, I'm so happy that I am a massive soul winner.
Amen.
You know, I'm not going to talk to you about, you know, how to have better health. I'm not going to bring somebody on this program to tell you about health foods and all this kind of garbage, because I know about it more than the ones that they got on the air, because I was with the American Health Studio Silhouette Figure Form. We sponsored the Mr. America, Mr. Universe contest, and as a matter of fact, I was eligible for the contest myself. And I've said this on many tapes, but I didn't want to go out there in the little things that they wear, because I guess I was a modest, you know, all my life. Okay? And naturally, I just wouldn't do that. But anyway, I know all about health foods, and I know the things that all the champions eat. It's just amazing to me, some of these people who are talking about health foods and products like that, and they come out and they look like death eating a cracker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Say, what happened to you? The one that they're using right now has got buggy whip arms and a neck, you know, a stack of dime neck, and, you know, it's really emaciated looking people. And they think because they starve themselves to death and they don't have a gut that they're healthy. It's just amazing to me. Well, anyway, let's go on.
Your ministry is wonderful, so powerful. I have to go, signed John from United Kingdom.
Right. See, like the main thing that the Lord sent us into this world to do was not just to eat and pamper ourselves and make sure that we have all the goodness, the goodies. And, you know, 90% of the stuff in health food stores is garbage. It's absolute garbage. Vitamin C is good. And there's a lot of vitamins that, you know, the doctors say that you shouldn't eat. Not that I practice what doctors say by any means. But anyway, as I said, I'm not going to talk about health foods on this program. My time is limited. What else?
Next letter is from Benue State, Nigeria, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Daddy, there is always an Elijah for Elisha and a Moses for Joshua. You are my father, my mentor, and the God-ordained prophet for my destiny.
I see. Now, the Apostle Paul said that I have begotten you. In other words, I'm your daddy in the spirit. And so that's what these people have read that scripture, and they know if I won their soul to the Lord, they're calling me daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me. Some of these people are like 50, 60, 70 years old. They're as old as I am, or some of them are even older, and they're calling me daddy. I think I was a daddy. I was born a daddy. I would support my mother and brothers. And I was just a real young kid, so I guess, yeah, it doesn't offend me to be called daddy. Okay, what else?
You have impacted my life and the lives of millions of people all over the world, especially Nigeria, with your wisdom. You have been a blessing to this generation. Your life is a tremendous inspiration to our lives. The outstanding success of your unique ministry is a testimony to your commitment and your calling.
See, all the glory goes to God, because I don't have a message unless the Lord gives it to me.
Amen.
Okay, so what do I know? I don't know anything unless He tells me. Amen?
Amen.
And when He tells me, I pass it on to you, because
Amen.
I want you to know what I know. And that means I want you to know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then what? And the Lord is the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 1 of John. And verse 14. Okay, go ahead.
Words are not strong enough to express depths of thoughts in man, but sufficient to say that through you, Nigerians and Africans will be immeasurably blessed. I thank God for His ministry, mighty hands upon your life and ministry. You are forever cherished, loved, and held sacred in hearts and homes. Your life is indeed a life worth celebrating. We wish you more power, honor, strength, unction, and many more years of generational impactations. You are blessed indeed, your friend and son, Evangelist Christian from Benue State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. And all the blessings that I get from the Lord, I'm passing them on to you. And hopefully you will receive them. And this is a pretty long letter. Where's this one from?
It's a witnessing line response.
Okay, go real fast because we're just about out of time.
Okay. Darren Rogers from Archives Museum Assemblies of God called the witnessing line today. He used to be at the Archives Seminary in Los Angeles, California, and when he was there, he had called the witnessing line, and we sent him at the seminary the different literature that we had, and now he has become the director of the Assemblies of God Archives Museum. It's basically like a historical Assembly of God library, he said. He would like to have the same thing he got last time, one of each of the pieces of literature, he said, so that they can make it accessible to everyone that comes to the library.
Okay, we're non-denominational. I'm not Assembly of God. Assembly of God used to be the most very good church and everything. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But for some reason, there's something that entered in here. This man sounds like he's a good man, though. Okay, so, and there's a lot of good people in the Assembly of God Church. And there's a lot of good churches out there preaching the word. Praise the Lord for them. Okay, then what?
He said he found the newsletter, Pope Secrets, very interesting. When he'd get them in Los Angeles, Pasadena, every once in a while under his windshield wiper.
I've just finished the new Pope Secrets. It's different than the first one, so make sure you get a copy of it. Then what?
He said it would be wonderful if we could send one of each of all the pieces of your literature as he had ordered last time. The request was given to the mailroom.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, Sharon, come on. And let's do some of the message on consecration. And we can't really have God's life living in us unless we're consecrated. And if you're not consecrated, well, then you're not saved. All right, so get to the point where you're consecrated. Then what else? Go ahead.
If we owned the entire universe, that would not be sufficient to give him for that which he has done.
To give Jesus. If you gave him the entire universe, if you had it to give, but the whole universe belongs to him, it wouldn't be sufficient to give to him for what he's done for us on the cross at Calvary. He paid for our salvation, and he paid for our healing, and and if we give ourselves unto him, every blessing in the universe that he has belongs to us, and no one can take it away. And some people sell their souls so cheaply for clothes and jewelry and being able to go out in the world and have sex and filth and degeneracy. They sell their soul for nothing. Okay, then what?
I wouldn't feel adequate before him if that's all I had to give him.
I wouldn't. I mean, how could you repay him for giving you the ability to save your soul, to enter into the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell in the lake of fire? Okay, go ahead.
Because his love is so overflowing. His love is so excellent. If I in any way try to repay his love, then there's no way that I can recognize his love. And
but,
if I...
Because his love is without... The only way we can show our appreciation is to... He died for us. Now we need to die out to ourselves and deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. If we won't do that, in other words, we'll be saying that it's all right for God to do that for us, but we're too good to do it for God. All right? Then we are, we're not following his instructions, and we're worse than any kind of devil there is. It's like the same as just thumbing our nose at God and saying, I don't want your blessing. I don't care about your mercy. All right, go ahead.
If I try to repay his love, I actually would be defiling his love. His love is like a pearl of great price, a priceless pearl.
Right, and we to him are pearls of great price. It's so great to the Lord that he gave himself for us. That God gave his only son, because that's we are the pearl of great price. What's the great price? The great price is his life that he paid for us. And so therefore he has the right of ownership. Okay, then what?
When you and I consecrate ourselves, it is like filthy rags in comparison. Only if we're in his body, only if we give him complete control of us, only if we allow him to represent himself in and through us, only if we let him live and beseech others to come unto him through our mortal bodies, are we worthy of him.
Yeah, if we don't consecrate ourselves, we're not letting God live. We're not letting the Lord Jesus Christ live in and through us. Okay, go ahead.
Otherwise, we're like dirt, like dirty rags. But we need to really seek to receive this love that is shed abroad into our hearts. When we do, it has such an intense consecration, it will be supernatural.
All right, I see my time is up. The Lord did what he wanted to do in this message today. And now, if you... We can't pay the Lord. All we could do is, if we love the idea that he will save us if we just give ourselves to him because he gave himself for us, then he'll receive you now. you just say this prayer. And notice in my prayer, I always tell you, say the blood of Jesus. Whenever you hear people saying the sinner's prayer and they leave the blood of Jesus out like almost every evangelist does on TV, you know that that's not of the Lord, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ taketh away the sins of the world. So say this prayer to God and mean it with all your heart, and say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood, to take his human blood, to take away the sins of my former sins, all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with your Father by the Spirit. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me, your human blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word, and the word is you, because you, the word, say so. You say that all that call upon your name shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and towards the heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, here's Sharon to tell you how you can receive this program. This program is, mark it down, it's $194. And you can receive a copy of it free of charge. The postage and handling is free of charge as well. And now go ahead and just tell them to please specify whether you want audio tape or a CD. All right, now hey, Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Now, you know, be thankful to the Lord, because he took the most horrible beating and persecution that anyone has ever taken. And the devil, every devil in hell tried to stop him from doing what it would take to rescue your soul from hell and the lake of fire. So make sure you keep praising and thanking the Lord. And make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 93 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, and keep looking into the Word, because the Word is God, and apply it to your soul and meditate on it. All right? God bless you. Amen.